Patients who have experienced rehab for joints or muscles run across all kinds of different terms and lingo. Here to clear a couple of them up is Dr. Sean Riley with Tulsa Spine and Rehab. Dr. Riley, what's the difference between facilitation and stabilization?
Sure. It's a question that I commonly get related to the rehab side of the practice. You know, when I speak of rehab, the physical therapy, you know, a lot of the exercises that we utilize here in the clinic to treat patients comprehensively. So, you know, just kind of it looks like the definition of facilitation. It's an activity that makes something easier for someone else, or just an activity in itself that makes it easier. And so a lot of times with patients, they come in, I evaluate them, I make a determination that there is some weakness to a specific area. We'll say, you know, we've talked about the glutes in the past, you know, the butt muscle there, the big hip extensor. And so we make a determination that they have some gluteal weakness, whether it's the big max or the smaller medius muscle. And so I'll talk to the patient about, you know, what we're going to, our focus is going to be on initially is on facilitation. And I kind of get that deer in the headlights look, like, what are you talking about? What facilitation, what does that mean? So the way I explain this to patients, over time, when something stops working, let's say your glute, and it becomes weak, your brain kind of forgets how to use the thing. And so I had a guy once, and I talked to him about, you know, gluteal inhibition or weakness. And he said, okay, great. That's all I needed to know. What my problem was, I'm going to go to the gym. I have a trainer, and then I'm going to start working on my glute stability. Well, therein lies the issue, Scott. If the thing, we can't turn it on properly, then when you go to exercise, you're going to compensate, or you're just going to recruit other muscles around that, you know, that glute, because there's other muscles that are going to extend, you know, your hamstring is an extensor as well, but you're just going to go, you're going to recruit. And so there lies the problem that, you know, we need to, you know, essentially turn the light switch on. And it's more of like kind of a motor learning thing. Does that make some sense? Like your brain mm-hmm. has to kind of learn how to turn that, to fire that muscle properly again.
And so you're reconditioning the brain?
Absolutely. And so over time, like I said, something stops working. We got to figure out how to turn it back on. Okay. And so once, you know, sometimes it takes a visit, sometimes it takes 10 minutes, you know, for them to, you know, facilitate that muscle or get it working again properly. Other times it might take, you know, 3 to 4 visits, you know, it just depends, but you know, it's one of those things that can come back relatively quick, or in other instances, it could take some time. From there, we can stabilize. So once I get something working properly, then we can, you know, we can develop exercise progressions and activities that are more difficult where you can stabilize. And those are more of the exercises that, you know, when you go to the gym and you're working with a trainer, you know, you work on strength and stability. So we want to work on facilitating, turn it on, and then, you know, exercising that muscle, get it working again properly and a little bit stronger. And then on the back end of that, start giving the patient some things to do on their own. Cause I'm a huge fan and proponent of self-management, being accountable for your own care. You know, a lot of the folks that we have in here are very active athletic type people, and they're like, tell me what I can do. And so I think a lot of offices miss out on that. They're so consumed with, you know, treating that patient in the clinic, you know. Now, granted, get in here, do what you need to do, and then on the back end of that, we're going to educate you and give you some things that are very specific to your condition.
So in the case of facilitation, you described a situation where we've sort of unlearned, if you will, how to work that muscle properly. And you would assume that that's happened over a long period of time. How do you correct that so quickly?
Well, like I said, it's more of a motor learning type drill. And, you know, we're going to use some prompts and some drills and some, you know, different types of exercises where their brain gets it. For instance, deer in headlights is one of the most basic exercises that we do here in the clinic. So we'll have a patient lie down on their back. You know, their knees will be bent, feet on the ground. And what we want that patient to do is activate their right gluteal muscle or their right butt cheek independent of their left. And, you know, patients look at me and they're like, why do you call this deer in headlights? I was like, I wish I could get a mirror on you right now because you look like a deer in headlights because it's confusing. And I know it sounds very, very easy, but that type of a drill, okay, and just spending a little bit of time with that patient, you know, let's get you to fire right, okay, relax, get you to fire left and back and forth and so forth. Now your brain has started to figure out how to, you know, turn that muscle on. We also might use some other types of bands and make you preload or pre-activate where you don't have a choice, meaning like we're going to use a band to make you wake up your core or stabilize, and then we're going to move from there. So different techniques and tricks that we have in the clinic. And like I said, once your brain kind of processes that and gets it, it can come back relatively quick.
And so it sounds like once facilitation takes place, stabilization is what more of us are more familiar with, and that is just the working of that muscle and the strength.
Sure, the exercise, you know, the very a lot of those common drills that we go to the gym, we'll see, you know, we can squatting type exercises, lunging, those types of things. But there needs to be a progression. And, you know, I've spoken to this in the past, is that once we facilitate and get something working properly, we need to be trained in the proper planes and the top proper patterns. Like, let's start on the ground, let's get in a quad position, maybe kneeling, and then ultimately standing. I think a lot of times in these rehab situations, you know, we start doing exercises on our feet. Well, we need to get back kind of the basics. And, you know, we come into this world on our bellies as babies, and that's kind of how we train. And then once you're able to show proficiency in those type of exercises, we're going to progress you to, you know, different positions and so forth. So I think that's very important as well, is when we get into the stability phase of care, you know, exercising, stabilizing, that you do it in the proper manner and not go from A to Z. You know, make sure you have a slow build and a slow progression.
The team at Tulsa Spine and Rehab can help get you back on track, whether you need chiropractic services, physical therapy, massage therapy, or acupuncture. Give them a call today at 918-743-3737.